section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Good evening
to all our favorite witches and warlocks. It is time for the third annual It Burns When I Pee Halloween Bash. We've got it all in this episode. An interview with our favorite three-headed monster, Jake Orvis, James Honeycutt, and Rachel Brooke. We have music about the devil and enough laughs to fill up your plastic pumpkin candy bucket. So open your front door, kick Elvira's old ass in the baby maker, and tell Boris Karloff that there is a new king of evil. Welcome to the haunting stalls of It Burns When I Pee.
Better. Sometimes I think it might maybe time I change my crazy ways. Yeah, just think about this shit day after day. Don't think I got a whole lot left to say. 'Cause I sold my soul at the old crossroads, like the man who first sang the blues. Yeah, I'm just a drifter, like old Jack, man who lived his life out on the road. Yeah, this life that I chose is making me grow old. Sometimes I think it might be time I loosen my load. If there's a train to hell, yeah, we might as well wait at the station together.
All right, folks, welcome to the ghoulish episode number 46 of It Burns When I Pee, entitled Halloweenies. And I have with us the scariest of all Amish people, the one, the only, BJ. What's going on, buddy?
Oh, nothing much. What's going on, Blake?
Well,
happy to be back.
Yes, you're like a two-timer now.
Yes, I should be in the Hall of Fame here soon.
Right, the IBWIP Hall of Fame, which is
actually
is so
shouldn't
prestigious.
It be like a Hall of Shame?
I think that's probably what it's more like. It's not as prestigious, you know. There's not going to be a bust of your head, and you know, enshrined anywhere. So what's been going on with you, buddy?
Oh, nothing much. What's been going on your end, Blake?
Living the American dream.
You too.
Yeah.
Poor as hell. And that's about it.
living at the resort with the roommates, you know. Can't knock it.
Yep.
But we got good music tonight, and we started it off with some good music, didn't we?
Yes, we started it off with Dogbite Harris, Train to Hell.
And, you know, as every year for the Halloween episode, we try to play songs that have to do with the devil and hell and, you know, all that good stuff. So I thought it was a good song to start off with because, you know, you got to have a train to hell to... you know, start the whole thing off.
Yep.
What else do we have going on today?
Sorry.
No, you're fine.
We also have music by James Honeycutt, the Disco Lepers. Holy crap, sorry.
You leap, a lot of lepers leap with lepers.
Yes, leaping leopards, lepers, yeah.
That's what you
Jake should... Orvis, Rachel Brook, Truck Stop Darlin, Johnny Cash, Ronnie Himes, Sons of Perdition, and Those Poor Bastards.
Because you can't have an episode, you can't have a Halloween episode without Sons of Perdition and Those Poor Bastards. That's like the, you know, those two are like the iconic.
Yeah, you have to have an episode with Those Poor Bastards. I mean, come on.
Exactly. What else you want to do? It's on the Tonight Show.
We're going to update Cocker's Travels, talk about Halloween then and now. We have an awesome interview with Jake Orvis, James Honeycutt, and Rachel Brook. And we will have contact information as well as talk a little bit about the November show.
Yes. We've got a lot to do. And so, you know, obviously Halloween is the subject we're going to talk about. I mean, what were you like as a kid with Halloween? I mean, were you like one of those kids that caused a lot of trouble?
Yes, I was a juvenile delinquent.
What do you call it now? Like, you're not a juvenile anymore, so you're just a delinquent?
Yeah, just pretty much a delinquent. I've given up the worst aspects of my delinquency, though. Now it's just beer and sleep.
We're wild and crazy at our old age. It's like, yeah. It's Halloween night. I'm going to drink 6 beers and go to bed at 9:30.
Yep. That's pretty much what it is.
All right, so give us a story about when you were a young whippersnapper in the ghoulish Hallows Eve.
Well, me and my friends used to have a contest, kind of a scavenger hunt. and you'd have to go out and find the biggest pumpkin or steal something out of somebody's yard. And I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations is up on this, so I can tell this story.
Well, that and the fact that people don't listen to the show, so the likelihood of a police officer or anybody, you're probably okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, one night it was steal somebody's lawn ornament. Well, I'm going through yards in the neighborhood, and I see this donkey. Well, I thought it was a ceramic donkey. Well, I took off running, and I was just going to run and grab it. Well, here it turns out those things are made out of cement and rebar. I was in a full run, grabbed this donkey, and it didn't lift off the ground. I actually flipped over it, landed on my back with a dull thud. All the wind was knocked out of me. Got up, tried to grab the donkey again. Those things must weigh 65 pounds.
He says, I will not be denied this ass.
It took two of us to get it out of that guy's yard, but we did it.
But because by that time, like, you've already been injured. You've already been humiliated. You're like, I'm taking this fucking thing if I have to get a truck and tie a chain around it.
You're right. There was no stopping my juvenile delinquency at that moment.
I could just see you, like, trying to, like, pick it up by its ears and, like, the ears snapping off.
No, I grabbed it by its belly, so I had, like, a really good hold on the thing. And my hands did not give way, but my body flipped over top of the thing. All you see is hair and pants flying over.
That is hilarious. So, but yeah. did that stop you from doing anything else?
Like the next year? Oh, no. No. We stole a lot more. Even at Christmas time, we had Christmas thieving, which was my favorite. But that's for another time.
Right. So what was the most expensive thing you think you stole from somebody's yard during Halloween?
You know, I don't think I ever stole anything, like, expensive. I don't think any of those yard things are too expensive.
A 65-pound donkey? That's got to cost you at least $100.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, like the jockeys holding the lanterns, we got a couple of those. I mean, we got a little bit of everything. Hay bales, just to steal hay bales. We were bad kids.
When do you think the last time was that you actually, like, went for candy? Like, what age do you think that, like, stopped for you? Like, where it became...
10.
At 10 years old, you're like, fuck the candy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was on to bigger and better things at that point. I had friends that could drive when I was 13, so at that point, we started skyfing stuff out of people's yards.
That's hilarious. Well, you want to get into some music, and we'll go on and talk about some more stuff later on?
Sure. Right. I think we should listen to James Honeycutt.
That is a wonderful idea.
Yes, and I think it should be the song Should You Dig My Grave Tonight.
And, you know, we have an interview later on with Jake Orvis, James Honeycutt, and Rachel Brooke. And it was probably the most fun interview I've ever done in my life. And I had never met James before until that night at the show, and totally dig him. And he was just hilarious, and I was super glad to have that extra, you know, partaking in the interview. So... what better way to start off the next segment is hearing some James Honeycutt, and we'll be right back. Should you dig my grave tonight? Ooh, spooky shit.
Boo.
Boo. Were you cheering the Bears on or making a Halloween sound? Thank you.
another day. Fill your stomach with the pig's delight. Rejoice and sing to my demise. Then as you wake, I too shall rise. Face to face when death meets life.
That means bedtime with some Section 86. It burns when I pee. Thank you guys for doing what you're doing. Good night.
hey, Blake, you want to see my invitation to Brett Favre? Look right here.
Yeah. It's nice.
It's old and gray. His pubic hair is all gray.
Hey, that chick was hot, though.
Yeah, got, at least he has good taste. At least it's not some nasty girl, you know.
Yeah, but it's funny how she looks so much like his wife.
Well, of course. I mean, if you're gonna slip up, why do you think my ex-wife married a guy named Blake?
Oh, did she marry that dude?
Yeah. He's the coolest guy in the world, allegedly.
Yeah. I heard a lot of things about him. I don't know where I heard him from, but
yeah, I never talk about it. Okay, you ready for segment two?
Yeah, man.
All right, folks, we're back here at segment two, episode 46 of It Burns When I Pee, Halloweeny. And some say I have a Halloweeny. I wish I had a Halloweeny. I'd have a lot more money in my pocket.
That is true.
We just got done hearing Disco Lepers with their song Canker Sore Underneath Her Lipstick.
That's a funny song, man.
Haven't we all just had a night like that?
Yeah.
Where you look at the girl and like, I know that's a canker sore, but I'm drunk and horny. just when you put your lips around my dick, can you just like pull your finger and hold your lip out?
And don't use my toothbrush in the morning.
Right. Actually, don't stay until the morning.
Yeah, get the hell out.
If you could leave, if you and your cancerous lip could leave, it would be great. I did not see that when I was intoxicated, but now that I've sobered up, I realize that you are nasty and disgusting, and that is a form of herpes.
And herpes sticks with you for life.
Yeah.
Speaking of herpes.
Speaking of the herp.
How do you feel about Halloween today versus when we were kids, man?
I'm thinking if you see somebody eating candy and they got herpes, don't share their Snickers.
Yeah, don't share a lollipop.
Oh, those Tootsie Roll Pops.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, how many licks right. Does it to the canker sore?
Yeah. How many licks does it take before the canker sore cracks and bleeds all over everything? Oh, shit. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
About Halloween today versus when we were kids. What do you feel are the differences?
I don't think Halloween, like, and I guess I'm looking at it from a kid's aspect. You know, like, how is it different for the kids now than it was when we were kids? Like, when we were kids, like, the streets were just, like, packed with kids. And you were just, you know, there was every kid in the neighborhood went trick-or-treating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was just lined up. You know, you had, like, 45 Batmans and whatever. But they were, everybody was out there. And, like, people, like, would open their door and they would just have huge buckets of candy, and they would just like a handful of it and throw it out to you. You know what I mean?
Right. They'd have like industrial chemical drums filled with candy and just
right. And you know, it was you know, the weather was always bad. You know what I mean? It was always bad, but still everybody went out. Now it's like, I remember we took my niece and nephew trick or treating last year, and like you didn't see anybody else on the street. Like, there was nobody, and then you'd go, like, three-fourths of the house was were all, you know, locked and lights off like my house would have been. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when you go up to somebody, they give you, like, one piece of candy.
My big thing is kids are lazy nowadays. You got these kids riding in minivans that their parents drop them from house to house, and they just raid the ones that their lights are on, you know?
Right. We used to have to walk and trudge through it on a cold, you know, October night, and it was always rainy and cold. We had to walk.
Right, and my kids still do that. You know what I mean? They trudge through a whole development trying to scavenge candy from these people, and then you got the guys that don't want the kids to walk through their yard.
Yeah,
like they're so anal about their yard. Like, dude, if you don't want somebody to walk through your yard, don't turn your light on to give them candy. You
exactly.
know what I mean?
And by this time of the year, I mean, your grass is turning brown and you got leaves all over anyway. So it's not
yeah.
like, you know, you're going to win a lawn contest. I just
don't be such an anal asshole about
exactly.
things.
I just think that there's no participation at all, you know, on both sides. Like, kids don't do it anymore. And then when they do, they don't even dress up. But, like, they come to your door and they're, like, dressed with whatever they wore to school.
Yeah, or they got their sports uniforms on with a little bit of blood coming out of the side of their mouth, and they're like a dead football player or something. Right. Come on, be a little bit more original than that.
Yeah, and I also think, you know what I think's ruined Halloween the most?
What's that?
Pedophiles.
Yeah.
We didn't know what pedophiles were, you know?
No, all we had to worry about was razor blades and apples.
Right, exactly. And now you got to worry about, like, you got to know, like, they have to put little signs on their doors, like, I am a pedophile, and that's 3/4 of the neighborhood.
Well, the good thing is that guy's supposed to come to your house and tell you he's a pedophile before.
Yeah, I want him to take a look at I want him to take a look at the goods. You know what I mean? Like, I want him to knock on the door and my kid answer, like, oh, yeah, this is the house I'm coming back to.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a menu for him.
Yeah. There's that little black kid on the 13th block, and then there's that little Asian boy. He would be good for dessert.
And then little Blakey down the street.
Exactly. I mean, because, like,
he looks like he has a tight little bunda.
do you think, I mean, do you remember your parents, like, saying, hey, you know, did you even know what I didn't even know what a pedophile was.
I had no clue when I was a kid. And now you got to wonder if it's not, you know, people blowing things way out of proportion, or it's just we didn't know because they didn't have to announce themselves when they moved into the neighborhood.
Right. I think that has a lot to do with it too. They didn't have to say anything. They were just the creepy guy that lived on the street, like the guy from Family Guy, the old man.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of know something's wrong with them and you shouldn't be around there, but you go over cuz the dude buys you beer when you're 16.
Right. Like the guy from Creepy Guy, he was like a loving pedophile. Like, he was a good guy.
Yeah. He was so nice.
Yeah, he was so nice the way he talked about popsicles and change. I love it. So I think the candy is a lot cooler, but it's more expensive. Like, people, you know, used to give you Smarties and, like, you know, the little Snickers or whatever. And they didn't have to spend like $4 for, you know, a half a pound of it.
Yeah, I was looking at Willy Wonka mix because, I mean, they got all the good stuff in there, like shock tarts and, you know, all the sour crap. And they're like $7.50 a bag.
Right. I don't want to give that little disgusting kid down the street who, you know, creeps me out. I don't want to give him all the good candy.
That's the kid that you give those Mary Jane things that nobody else will eat. You know, the little orange and black wrapped things.
Or like Chiclets.
Yeah. Yeah, you give the creepy kids all the, like, god-awful candy that nobody... That way they don't come back to your house next year.
Do you remember the wax lips? Like the,
yeah.
Like, they had, like, the what do you call it, the vampire teeth, you know?
Yeah, and they had, like, the big, full lips, like you're getting ready to kiss people and stuff.
That was the most disgusting candy ever. But, like, when you got one, you ate it. Like, you ate it. You were like, this is badass. And, like, it was supposed to turn into gum.
Yeah, and it was just awful, like, waxy crap.
It's like, here, little boy, eat this red candle.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Like, we're gonna add some sugar to it, but basically this is just starch and wax. And you're going to love it. It's going to be a great Halloween treat for you.
That's like those little soda bottle things that are in the wax that have, like, the liquid in them.
Yeah, those are gross.
I always used to just suck out the liquid and then just pitch the waxy crap.
What's the point? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, jeez.
And it doesn't even quench your thirst.
So what do you think we should do to make it better? What should we go back to as parents? What should we demand?
I really don't know, man. First off, I demand nobody come into a development with minivans, or if you do, park and walk like a normal civilized human being. But besides that, I mean, until the economy approves, who's going to hand out candy?
Right.
Or maybe you just steal shit out of their yard.
Yeah, try to steal a donkey. I think every family should, as a family, you should, you know, mom's the lookout. You know, and dad goes for the gusto, and the little son and daughter come up and pull him off the ground.
Pick him off, him off.
I just keep envisioning you like full dead run, just like sprinting like a bat out of hell, just going to fucking snatch that thing up off the ground and just fucking like your arms and your hands stay locked, but like the rest of your body just rips off of it.
That's exactly what happened, but add in that I only weighed like 120 pounds and had size 53 pants on. You know, that I was into the really big pants at the time. So all you see is pants flying over. You know what I mean? I'm wearing pants for a 500 pound man and I'm a buck 20 nice. Soaking wet.
Wouldn't that be funny if the cops come to your house and like they have a picture of like a black and white picture? Have you seen this donkey? you're like
I've it's
seen,
okay.
I've seen a lot of ass in my life, officer. You'll have to be more specific.
It's okay. I hope they send my one friend who is now a state trooper. Because I'll say, hey, man, you were driving the car.
Right. You were the getaway.
Yeah.
So we're talking and we have the special guests of the interview with Jake and James and Rachel. And let me tell you about this show that I went to with them. First of all, I had never seen Jake perform either with 357 or Goddamn Gallows. The Goddamn Gallows were here like not too long ago, and I ended up not going specifically because I wanted to see James, you know, solo first. And of course, it's like the third time I saw Rachel Brooke, and I don't care if it's, you know, out in a field in a barn and there's no electricity and no microphone and there's no lights, or, you know, if it's just her and a guitar. I mean, this girl is fucking phenomenal, and like live, she's phenomenal. And you know, so those two alone, you know, it was just like an amazing show. And I found it, I just found like an interesting array of music, you know, the three of them had. And have you heard of James before the show?
Actually, when he signed to, or when they announced that he was going out on tour, I looked up a lot of his stuff because, to be honest with you, I've heard his music, but I never, you know, went out to try to hear more.
Sure.
And that guy is a phenomenal guitar player.
Oh,
I watched a video on YouTube of him and Jake, you know, in a hotel room just doing this jam, you know, Jake on the mando, James playing guitar. And I'm just sitting there in awe going, this guy's phenomenal.
Right, yeah, and that's... You know, that was one of the coolest things, and that's why it was such like a great idea, you know. And I know he did a lot of work on Jake's solo record too, but he's just, you know, he has, I think, you know, he has that rockabilly kind of 70s kind of, but then he also can be kind of punk, and you know what I mean, but then he can sing like a real like straight up song, you know what I mean. And I just like guys that have that kind of range, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I like his cover of the Misfits song, The Hybrid Moments.
Yeah, and that, you know what, I'm not a Misfits fan. I couldn't tell you a Misfits song, you know, to save my life. But he played that. And then I went on, and he, you know, he gave me some music, and he had a copy of that he played that. And also then I saw a YouTube video of him and Rachel, like, outside playing that song.
Yeah.
And, like, I totally dug, like, his version of that song, you know what I mean? Like, and so, you know, I guess I can say like that I like a Misfits song because technically, you know, it is, you know, their song. But it's definitely cool, and he does put his own spin on stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it sticks pretty close to the original. I was never a big Misfits fan either. It was too, you know, makeup, weird, hairy thing for me. But, yeah, I mean, it sticks pretty close to the original, but he does put his spin on it, and yeah. I love it.
And then Jake, of course, like I said, I had never seen him play live. So, like, it was totally awesome. And now, every time I meet these guys for the first time, I'm always amazed at how, like, down-to-earth they are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they don't have to give three asses about who the fuck I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, you know, with Rachel, too, like, I've, you know, we've stayed in contact over the years. And, you know, it's just cool, like, that they're cool with the fans and... And they just put on a hell of a show. And, you know, they one of the big things for me, what I was excited about is they played Hold On Tight, which is from you know, the 357 album. And yeah. Rachel and him had never played it live. Like, this was, when I saw them, was the second night of the tour. So they hadn't even really gotten going. You know what I mean? Like, they hadn't gotten their legs under them. And, but it was still awesome to be like, you know, only the second time that's been performed to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's Nicole's favorite song off that album of 357.
And
just because, actually, I think that's the song that turned her on to Rachel Brooke.
How did it turn her on?
I'm not saying.
Come on. You're like, I don't want to tell you what happened that night, but I'll never forget it.
Yes. Thank you, Rachel Brooke.
I will put the song on repeat. But it was cool that, you know, I just really totally dug it. It's probably one of the best shows I've seen in a while. And it was cool. I had some friends that don't normally listen to that kind of music go to the show, and they totally dug it. It was, and that's what it's all about. You know, I got three other people to sit and listen to them play and dig it. So it was cool.
Yeah. I've seen, on that subject of, you know, taking friends that really don't listen to this style of music or whatever. I have a friend that I played, or we were in bands together throughout our teenage years and everything. And if you'd tell him that it's country, he'd automatically know. But a lot of the stuff I played for him, he takes it as a musician and goes, man, that's awesome. Right. You know, and I played the James Honeycutt for him, and he absolutely loved it. Cool. So that's my little side story. Sorry.
No, side stories are good stories. So, and, you know, that side story leads right into, fuck it, let's just play the, you know, let's play some music from Jake and let's play the interview. Because I seriously, this is one of the most fun interviews I've ever had. It seriously was a good time. And I hope everybody gets the same enjoyment out of it that I did. And so let's go ahead and start off with a song from Jake's new solo record, which is called It's All Been Said. And this is Dreadful Sinner. How ironic for Halloween, right?
Boo.
Boo, motherfucker. Boo. So here is Jake, and then we got the interview, and then we'll have a song by Rachel on the back end. So we'll be back. Say later, BJ.
Later, all.
No one wants to go to jail for things.
I know. Soldier,
citizen. Deputies have backed off. I need you to slow down. Where are you at?
Wrap your arms around me, Jesus, why did you not blind me? What does it take to become a righteous man? Like an oyster with a pearl inside it, evil's here and I cannot hide it. Wickedness is painless, but its blade is strong and true. mercy, wrap your arms around me. Jesus, why did you not blind me? What does it take to become a righteous man? Like an oyster with a pearl inside it. Evil's here and I cannot hide it. Wickedness is painless, but its blade is strong and true. That's what we do with the dreadful. That's what we do, gonna hold them down. That's what we do with the dreadful. Listen up, y'all, cause we're making the round.
Welcome, everybody, back to the Halloween special entitled Halloweeny. Nice. I don't even have to look up any extra sound effects. We have got a full house tonight. We have James Honeycutt.
Bob Saget.
David Tanner.
And William Shatner.
Dave Coulier.
Right. And we have Jake Orvis. And breaking the record of appearances on It Burns When IP, the lovely, the talented Rachel Brooke.
Thank you.
Yes. Three times.
Wow.
So we just got down here and you guys play. It's a Friday night, your second show on the tour. Jake, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit how this tour came about?
Well, let's see.
Many years ago.
About 6 months ago, I was taking a dump, reading a Mad magazine, and I thought to myself, wow, you know, if I could tour with anybody, who would it be? Probably my favorite people in the world, some of my favorite musicians, and that would have been Led Zeppelin, but they're all done.
Right.
So, I hate Led Zeppelin. No, wait, I'm getting sidetracked. James Honeycutt and Rachel Brooke have been some of not only my favorite people, but favorite singers, musicians, songwriters, and when given the opportunity to actually do a tour of my own behind my stuff, I mean, James was a no-brainer because he performed with it, and I just really wanted to go out with Rachel because of two things. She's amazing. I love her company. Three things, actually. She's amazing. I love her company, and I think that, if anything, I want to help her be in front of people that may not have seen her, that would
exactly.
Come to see me and James that might not have seen her, and just let her do what she does and blow minds.
Awesome. And, you know, by the time this airs, the tour will be over. It's a short tour. Rachel, why don't you tell us a little bit about where you guys have been on the tour or where you're going to be?
Well, last night was our first one in Milwaukee. And then that was a good one. It was a good show, I think. And then tonight, Pekin.
And Bottoms Up, our new sponsor.
Yes.
We talk about them all the time, so.
Yep. And this was a great, great show. Great people. It was a good one. And then we have, two more weeks. We're going to go a little bit southeast and then a little bit up northeast.
Awesome.
For 2 weeks.
And, of course, you know, Rachel, there's been talk about a solo album coming out.
Yes.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about what's coming up with that and, you know, when we can expect it?
Well, It's going to be called Down in the Barnyard. And I'm still, I got all the songs ready. I'm working on it at home, but still, you know, still working on it. I was planning on it to be in the fall, and it'll probably be, I have a feeling it'll be probably before the end of the year, hopefully November, December.
We'd sure like to open that on Christmas morning.
Oh, yeah.
I think everybody would like to open that
That's
on Christmas
a good idea.
Morning.
Maybe we'll do that.
So, James, what do you have going on besides the tour? Do you have an album out right now? Or
I've got two CDs out right now, and I'm almost done with a third that I'll be releasing on my own. Probably, I'd say, within about a month after we get home, probably November-ish, I should get that done. And if everything works out, too, I'm going to be doing my first album with Farmageddon, okay. which it's all been said, Jake's records on Farmageddon as well. And just depending on scheduling, I'll be going down to Nashville to record that with Andy Gibson.
Okay.
So, but it kind of depends on his schedule because he's busy. So hopefully I'll get two more albums by the end of the year. And yeah.
Awesome. So here's my question is getting a tour together. You guys are on all different ends of the country. You know, do you guys set a time? You're like, we're going to meet at, you know, at the McDonald's in, you know, Wisconsin at 3 o'clock. I mean, how difficult is it to get everything together in a short period of time?
It's pretty much just like you said. Except instead of a McDonald's, it ended up being Burger King.
Much more for the king than Ronald McDonald,
I guess. It's actually a Del Taco in Detroit.
Yep. I've heard a lot about Del Tacos.
Del Taco's great.
I love Del Taco.
Del Taco's fish tacos are really good, and it's like the big beefy or whatever. I don't know. They're really good.
So you have the guys and gals, you know, backing you up. You know, you have Joe Perez, you know, playing banjo. You guys have no time to really practice this, did you? Get things together.
No, well, because of the fact that we all live in, like, every one of us lives in a different state, what we ended up doing was... We all met up, basically we all met up in Detroit and drove to Milwaukee, got into the, fortunately, the club owner in Milwaukee let us in and let us hang out there for the day, and just, we just ran through everything. You know, we swapped ideas, we sat down, we played music, and we hashed out everything, and fortunately, everything just kind of came naturally. Like, it was like, yeah, we were practicing, but... I mean, it just felt... It all came out so easily.
And you've all played together, you know, one time.
Yeah,
or another,
we're all... we're all friends. We've all played together at some point before, and we all know each other's songs. So it just... Like I said, it just kind of came about naturally.
And, you know, the main purpose is to promote your new solo album, It's All Been Said. So, you know, you've had
it's
it out
all
for
about,
months.
It's all about me. I'm the boss.
Right, there you go.
I'm the boss.
So, you know, it just came out a couple months ago, and, you know, it came out to rave reviews. And here's my question for you. Do you prefer to have, like, total control over a solo project or a project with a band? Because you have been in a couple of bands, and you're...
Well, it's weird because I've always been an ensemble kind of member. You know, I've always been part of an ensemble. I've never been the boss. And it's totally getting to my head right now.
Right.
I love it.
2 days into the tour, he's like, listen, this is how it's going to go.
Oh, man, I'm passing out black stars and gold stars. You're getting either merits or demerits.
You're sleeping in the trunk tonight.
If we had a trunk.
Yeah.
Now, what was the question?
Do you prefer, you know, to have total control over an album or?
Well, okay. I have songs written. Like, the album started with just songs I had written, and everybody came in and added to it. You know, everything that they added was just like mind blowing to me because, like, I just had this simple, stupid 3-chord song. And, like, James come in and plays some riff, and it's just like, wow, this is an amazingly different song now.
Right.
You know, and it feels different. It feels better. There wasn't, like, on the album, there wasn't a whole lot of writing on the spot. It was a little bit, just because I had songs that were, like, half-assedly written. Like, I don't know what to do with this. And then, like, James and Banjo Dan and Johnny were like, how about we do this? And I was like, okay. So, yeah.
So it's a solo project, but you everybody kind of lent their talents.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
To make what it is, which is an amazing album.
Absolutely.
So, Rachel, next question. You not only do you have the solo project going,
But there is also talk about a Bitter Harvest sequel, I guess you'd say. And I know what you're going to tell me is you can't tell me anything. And I understand. I guess, can you confirm or deny the recent, you know, rumors?
I can confirm that there will be another CD with Lonesome Wyatt and myself.
All right.
Right now, we're still kind of writing it, but after my next one's out, then my concentration will be on.
Sure.
Then
are you going to tour with your solo album when it comes out?
I want to. Yeah, I do. I don't know.
She kind of looked over at you, Jake. Like, yeah, I do. Anybody else want to go?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah.
It was kind of like, you know, her eyes went from James over to Jake, and then. Yes, I do.
Yeah, I do. I do. And I have a bunch of ideas. I just got to, you know, figure them out and, you know.
Are you going to have a proofreader for the posters?
Yeah.
Sorry. That was good. It was.
Yeah, whatever.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, there's two C's on my poster.
That's why I have people, all people.
They're limited edition.
Right. And we solved that problem. We solved the problem because I told her, just autograph every poster right over the word acoustic.
And I signed my name with two C's as well. Rachel, R-I-C-C-H-E-L. Yeah.
It's French, Rachel.
Yeah.
Next question I have. How long, Jake, have you been wanting to do a solo record? I mean, you've had the songs.
How long have I been wanting to do a solo tour?
Solo album.
Oh, a solo album?
Right.
I never wanted to do a solo album. Not one fucking bit, man. And Darren had to twist my fucking arm. He's like, no, these songs are good, man. I was like, this suck. Life is horrible. And I just had all these songs. Like, I wanted to do these songs with a band. And I had no intention of doing a solo album at all. I didn't want to. I didn't have, you know, like, the means. And Darren was basically the guy who was like, Farmageddon Records with Darren, was like, dude, if you do something, I wouldn't be surprised if guys like James Honeycutt or Banjo Dan, JB, these guys would want to get involved. And I was like, oh, no, why would they want to waste their time with some fucking piddly shit? And to my surprise, quite the contrary. And the response was completely different. Now, James, who is my friend who is sitting right next to me, tell me how awesome I am.
You are awesome. Yep. And I'm not just saying that because he's the boss. And I might not get dinner if I make him mad.
Right.
But I thought that before we entered this Iron Fist, Julius Caesar, Jake Orvis scenario. Seriously, he rules. You're awesome, man.
Oh, I love
and
you.
And your songs are awesome, too. And that this record needed to happen, and it's an honor to be a part of it.
Thank you so much.
And you can have the mic back before I start crying.
Okay? It's a bit touching, man. Actually, my next question is for you, James, so you can take the mic back over. That's... When you're low budget like me, you only have three mics, and of course I have to have one.
Totally.
But how long have you been writing music and playing music?
Oh, wow. I started playing guitar, I think, when I was 11 or 12, and started writing songs right off the bat, and they were total evil, Slayer, Venom, Metallica, back when they were cool kind of songs,
because right.
I'm like total metalhead, and was rebelling against the country music and 50s and 60s stuff that my mom and dad were listening to. But, so I guess 24 years,
wow.
24, 25 years.
And what makes you come full circle from, you know, like you said, the metal to, you know, because nowadays, the music scene that we're in, there's a lot of punk influence, there's a lot of metal influence. And I guess the question I like to ask everybody is, how did you come and, you know, how did you go from point A to point D? Because there's, you know, there's many things in between. What drew you, you know, to what you're doing now?
I think what happened is a lot of the stuff, like I still play metal and punk and different things other than kind of roots-based music, but what got me into the metal and punk, I guess, initially was kind of a rebellion. Like I didn't want, even though I liked this stuff, like I grew up on old country and old rock and roll and jazz and stuff. I loved that stuff as a kid, but as I got older, it's the classic rebellion, not wanting to do what your folks do or wanting to be like them.
I keep thinking she wants to kick me in the face when she lifts her.
She's warming up. You just wait.
I'm like, luckily she's short. Otherwise, I would get it. No, go ahead. I'm sorry. You said it was off the cuff, so I just kind of went.
Oh, totally, man. This is beautiful.
I'm sorry.
It's like, you're so violent. Just calm down.
So you have the boss and the bouncer. Well, what do you fit in then?
Yeah, I'm the bouncer.
The doofus, I guess. Oh. I don't know.
The
That doesn't start with a B, and that's proof of how doofusy I am.
Don't give yourself nearly enough credit.
I'm a goofball, man.
I am. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
Aw.
I love you. There's so much love in this room right now.
Can you tell we've been drinking?
True. Right, a little bit. So then I guess the next question goes to Rachel. I'm trying to keep it, you know, going around. But I never knew this about you, and I guess it's because I'm an idiot and don't sometimes look into stuff. But I didn't know you were a drummer.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I just found out recently that you're actually going to be drumming for a band. Can you tell us a little bit about that project since your guys' slates are so full that you're always doing something, so it's cool.
The band is called The Clots, and they've been around for a little while in Detroit, and they're really good friends of mine, and they were looking for a new drummer, and I just kind of hinted, like, well, I can play.
With a big sign.
Yeah, like me, a big sign pointing towards me. No, I don't know. It's fun. Actually, Melissa is here on the tour with us. She's the guitar player in The Clots, and she's doing the merch and stuff. But we're right now just kind of practicing, and we're going to start playing shows probably around Detroit for a little while, and then who knows what after that. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Cool.
I like to drum.
I definitely would dig to watch that.
Yeah.
The next question for you, Jake. You know, with the recent events with the gallows, you know, does it make you hesitant to kind of like go out after the shows, or does it make you kind of leery of and hesitant of fans or people that you meet on the road?
It doesn't make me hesitant of fans or necessarily hanging out. It's one of those things where you gotta. Shit, I don't even really know how to answer that. I recognize it a lot quicker nowadays anyway, and now I know what the consequences are immediately, and it pains me so much to see my good friends going through this, and I don't know, it's a lot quicker for me to just ignore people who seem really obnoxiously stupid, and
kind of your first tall tale sign.
I just, you trust your gut.
Sure.
You know, I guess that's bottom line. Just trust your gut, and I've been doing that, and it. I don't really know what to say about that.
That's a good answer to that question. James, who are you listening to right now besides your boss?
My boss?
Yeah.
like newer artists,
who are you, like, right? What's on your iPod or MP3 player in the stereo in the car?
Besides Django Reinhardt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Aside from Django Reinhardt, Les Paul, lots of old country, Slayer, Celtic Frost, Black Sabbath.
A little bit of everything.
I've been listening to these guys. I don't have an iPod, so I guess this is a fraudulent answer.
Well, I always say, what CDs are you listening to? And then people look at me like, you know, I don't use them. So I never, you know.
I actually do use CDs. I'm old school that way.
I still have a bunch of them. Rachel, who are you listening to right now?
Lately, I've been listening to Fats Domino a bunch. Cool. Love Fats Domino and the Carter Family.
Awesome.
Really, yeah. I mean, I always loved the Carter Family, you know, but I just, for some reason, it's like really, I don't know, it's something about it's really grabbing me lately.
I think for me, like, there's different points in your life or different things going on in your life that you draw to that, you know, certain different kinds of music, and that's where a lot of times we find that, you know, a fresh inspiration or something. And in the roots music that we play and we live, and, you know, that's what I like about it is you can listen to Fats Domino and you can listen to the Carter's Family and you can listen to Slayer, and it will come out somehow, some way, and in music. And I think that's why our music is so free, I guess. There's no restrictions to it, you know.
Yeah.
So
totally.
Yeah.
I have a game that I like to play that nobody else likes.
Uh-oh.
And it's called word association. Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the, you know, of course it's the Halloween episode. So I try to keep it, you know, kind of festive.
We play this game a lot in the van. We're all pretty bad.
So this actually might go well. Every time I do it goes bad. So you know, it's not, you don't have to have one word, just the first thing that comes to your mind. So we'll just go down the line, okay?
Okay.
Rachel, you have the first one, and that's Elvira.
I think of my dog, Sadie, because that's her favorite band is the Oak Ridge Boys. She one time we were watching the TV and her paw her paw hit the remote and it changed to some live concert of the Oak Ridge Boys. So now obviously we think that that's her favorite band.
All right.
Can we say what we thought?
Sure.
We'll do two. Big
tits.
Nice. Oh. That's actually okay. It was supposed to be Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. But I liked your answer much better.
Boom Papa Mau Mau came in right after that. I was feeling you.
Okay, James, here's one for you. Dark Shadows.
Darth Vader. Yeah.
Do you guys remember the show?
Yeah, totally. That's a cool show.
Dark Shadows.
That's a cool show.
Darth Vader. All right.
I was thinking of Tales from the Dark Side.
Okay. Hey, that's why this game is fun. See, it's fun.
Yeah,
nobody thinks it's fun except me. Every time I've done it, they've been like,
"Wow, we can do this all night." Oh yeah.
All right, Jake, Sin.
Sin, Stone.
All right, Rachel, Candy Corn. My dog Sadie loves Candy Corn.
Candy Corn reminds me of obviously Halloween, but I don't know. It's the only time I eat candy corn.
Right, it's the only. There used to be when we were kids, there was one flavor. Now there's like strawberry candy corn. And
whoa.
Yeah.
I've seen that.
And it reminds me of my friend Jessica because that's her favorite candy.
And so she's only happy once a year.
Yeah.
Right. All right, James. Possessed.
Oh. Well, I thought of the band Possessed. But that's possessed, huh? That's not good word association, is it?
The same word?
That's pretty bad. But I thought of the band Possessed, the old metal band, Larry Lalonde. He was in Primus and all that.
Okay.
Because I like the evil old metal. So I thought Possessed made me think of Possessed. That's original.
There you go.
I get the Possessed mixed up with the Obsessed.
Yeah.
We obsessed to be possessed.
Third degree of separation, that word association.
And that's cool, darker stoner metal.
I'm mumbling.
Savvy. The boss can answer however he wants to, and it's right.
Oh, he's the boss.
I'm the boss. I'll mumble anything I want.
Okay, the last one, Jake. Coffins.
Case. I don't know. Coffee. I'm bad at this.
Guitars.
Yeah, like, I'm bad at this. The word association with me is very uninteresting. I'm sorry.
And no, it's fine. I just need to learn to put it away.
How about Robitussin?
Robitussin. There you go.
Coffins, like coffins.
Coffins.
That's good.
Get it?
I got the coffins really bad.
I got the coffins.
So that reminds me of this joke. There's this group of it's a funeral, and all the pallbearers are taking the casket down this big long hill, and one dude loses his grip, and the casket goes flying down this hill and it creams across the state highway and lands right across this I'm screwing this up. It crashes through a pharmacy and the lid pops up and the stiff pops up and he's like, "Hey, you got anything to stop this coughing?" Because it's a pharmacy. Okay. Yeah, okay. I need to quit drinking for the eighth time.
All right. You guys, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know you've been traveling all day, you're in traffic, and you come and do a show, and I appreciate a lot that you'll take the extra few minutes. And I gave you this luxurious couch.
Yeah,
you
know, it's usually, comfy.
Yeah.
Can you take this with us?
Yeah, I don't care.
Rad, we can put it in the back of the van.
Fine with me. So this is the point of the show where everybody gets to go through and kind of plug where people can go to get your music and where people can go to find information about you, because you guys are always doing something and always got something going on. So, Rachel, why don't you go to first? Where can folks go to pick up the CDs?
Well, I just got a brand new website, and it's rachelbrookmusic.com, and I'll have all my information there, including MySpace links and Facebook and information about what's coming up and all that stuff.
All right.
So,
and we'll put a hyperlink up to that on the show notes.
Cool.
James, how about you?
I have a website. It's Jabes. I can't talk all
the Jabes.
The Jabes. Jabes.
I keep punching in Jabes.
JamesHoneycutt.com. And it has links to the MySpace, which is myspace.com/JamesBilly. Sounds sloshed. I don't even drink. It's horrible. I have a Facebook page, but I don't know. I don't have like a name. It's like a profile number.
Sure.
Shit, you know.
I'll find it and I'll get a link up to it.
That. And then all links, like the albums are available on CD Baby and iTunes and Amazon. But I think all that comes from the website too. Sure. Except for the Facebook, maybe. All right. So I could have just said the website. That's it. I'm sorry.
Well, and we'll get a hyperlink up. Jake, how about you?
Go to jizonline.com/JakeOrvis.
That is too expensive.
It's free. Come on.
I don't have an actual website yet.
It's just myspace.com/JakeOrvis. But if you're looking for the albums, you can go to Farmageddon Records, newrootsorder.com, or iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby,
Google search.
Walmart, Kmart, Target. I think Hot Topic's holding out a little bit, but Sam Ash is carrying my CD, and so is Mainstream, which is only in the south side of Milwaukee.
Walmart.
Yeah, fuck Walmart.
Fuck Walmart.
I'm drunk.
Well, I want to thank you guys and gal. It's a pleasure to have you guys on the show, and it's a pleasure to be able to listen to your music, and I always appreciate you guys taking the time for little guys like me. And thanks very much, and be safe on the road, and enjoy, and keep doing what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. We enjoy doing this stuff, so seriously, thank you.
No problem. Thank you, guys, and have a good night. Happy Halloween.
You too.
Happy
Halloween.
I live in a world they won't slow down, and I've invited you in just to keep it down, 'cause when I'm so low, I'm in love with my pain. Now with you, I live in a world proven paper thin. Keep on burning. Hell is where I'm bound. I live in a world of guilt and blame. I'm a slave to your heart. Glasses I wear show my world is blue. So that I'm not alone. You're all dead too.
All right, folks, we just got done hearing the lovely, the talented, the leader in the pack of guests on It Burns My Piece. She's been on 3 times now, but that was her song, Still Burning. It's always good to put a burning song in.
It is. Burning's fun.
Burning has been my center of attention for 3 years. The doctor said it would go away, but it never did.
Once it burns when you pee, it always burns when you pee.
Right. It's kind of like the herpes, you know. It's going to stick with you.
Like a canker sore under your lipstick.
Exactly.
Oh. So, I heard this little rumor that you lost 150 fans on Facebook.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. One day I went on there, and I know I hadn't been on there in a few days, but I went on there to check it. And, like, you know how, like, it gives you stats and stuff, you know, if you're an administrator or whatever. And yeah. It said like 150 people, and it had a little red arrow down. And I'm like, what? And I looked at it, and I'm like, you mean to tell me that I fucking pissed my pants? I stood there and fucking pissed my pants for 500 fans, and they're gone. And I'm like, what the fuck? And I was kind of pissed at first. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I felt like I felt like a dirty fucking whore that somebody just gave $5 to and walked out on.
Did you have a canker sore?
On my dick. I had a canker sore on my dick. But I'm sure it was a mole. You know, I'm sure that people just didn't go, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It had to be somebody just kind of screwing with you, I think.
Yeah. So, but you know, it made me kind of pissed off. Do you think I'm wrong for being pissed off? I'll get on BJ's couch. Like, am I out of line for kind of like saying fuck you then?
No, I mean, hell. I mean, personally, I say 150 people, screw you.
Right, they never listen to the show anyway.
Yeah, we can get better people. I mean, yeah,
we can get more outstanding citizens.
Yes.
I don't know.
More degenerates.
Yeah, the degenerates always stick around. It's those people that have morals and values that fucking take off.
Yeah, fuck the religious right. I mean, did I say that out loud?
No, I muted it. Don't worry. No.
Oh, good. Did you use the voice translator or the voice manipulator thing?
It said, you're like, fuck those gals. So, I don't know, Dr. BJ, I mean, how should I get through this?
Well, you should take a strong dose of being an asshole and just piss off as many more people as you can. I mean, hell, you got 150 down. Let's go for 300.
Like, let's try to be like that South Park episode about Facebook and get, like, no friends.
Yeah. You know, it may be cool not to have any friends. I mean, you're just putting out, like, updates to yourself.
Right, just to remind yourself. Like,
yeah.
But, like, you know, there are a lot of people, like, and I don't think some people realize this, there are a lot of people that dig this show and that have been, like, fans and listen every month. And I know there's people that don't write in and stuff, but they still listen every month. And I don't have any problem with those people. You know, I appreciate them very much so, even if I don't know who they are. But if you're going to be all douchey and fucking, you know, join up and be a friend, and, you know, for 150 people to do it all at the same time, it was obviously one douchebag and his efforts. Or,
yeah,
a douchebag.
That is, it's kind of weird.
Yeah. But I don't fucking
definitely
care.
Definitely douchebaggish.
If I really cared about how many people listened to the show, or if I cared how many people I pissed off, I really don't think that I would have said and done the things I've done.
Yeah, I mean, this is a far from PC show, and it really shouldn't be a PC show. I mean, hell, the title's
it
burns when I pee.
Right. And you know, I could sit here and just spin tunes, you know, but
yeah,
I like to.
That would make you Wolfman Jack or shit.
Right, Wolfman Jack.
So, I'm bringing up a 50s reference that nobody's going to understand.
Everybody that listens is like, oh, Wolfman Jack, because it's Halloween. I get what he's saying.
Yeah, I'm like Dennis Miller, just like throwing out that references that nobody understands.
You got to smoking a cigarette. Nah, I hate everybody.
That guy's a douchebag.
So for all you people that were on our friends list and now are not, you can eat a dick.
A big old fat canker sore dick.
A big old fat canker sore black sweaty dick.
That just crossed the line with me.
You're like, I'm offended. I like sweaty black dick. No. Yeah. What'd they ever do to you, Blake?
God damn it, Blake.
It's not like I have a bunch of black people listen to the show.
Yeah, I guess. You're going into a realm here I don't know if I want to follow.
You're like, your session's over, Mr. Clayton. Please come back next week. Douchebags and whores not wanted, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if you should really... If you got, like, five hot chick friends...
That makes up for, like, 120 douchebags.
Yeah, it makes up for, like, 150 guys that left. I mean, let's admit it. I mean, guys are douchebags as it is.
Right. But I don't want to make it seem like, because, like, there are cool-ass people listening to the show. Like, there's people that have done a lot for, you know, a lot for the show. But I pissed myself. I fucking pissed myself. Just leave the fucking, you don't have to come check the page. I don't give a fuck. But I pissed myself for you. Just leave it on there.
Yeah, that's true.
Stroke my ego. You're not going to stroke my dick. At least you could do a stroke my ego.
Yeah, pissing yourself kind of... That's a devotion that people should feel proud of.
Well, but I'm a man of my... I showed that I was a man of my word.
Yeah, it was. I mean... I don't even know if I could piss myself if I wanted to. Like, you're trying to piss yourself. I don't know if I could do it.
I tell you what, I drank a lot. I think I had like three Red Bulls and like two big, huge Mountain Dews, and I just let her. I just let her rip.
Yeah, I still don't know if I could do it. So there's something in my mind that says don't piss your pants.
Is there something on your mind that says don't piss your pants and put it on the internet?
Yeah.
That's probably what it is. Don't go one step further than Brett Favre.
Yeah. Don't send your dick to people, please.
Well, so for all the fans that are actually still out there, and I gave Encyclopedia Billy the month off. So he's got stuff going on at his house, so I gave him the month off. I figured you guys don't make any money, so you know, let the guy have a good holiday.
That's mighty white of you, Blake. I figured we went there already. I might as well keep going.
Right. So if you want to call us and tell us why you dissed us on Facebook, you can dial 1-206-339-8419. Have you ever called that number?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I think you have. You weren't a douchebag.
Yeah, a few times.
And
what's that?
I said you weren't a douchebag. I mean, you took the time to call.
I am far from a douchebag. I am an outstanding individual.
You're like an anti-douchebag.
Yes, I am. Everybody right now is saying, no, he's a douchebag.
Like, no, both of these guys are douchebags. I don't know why, I don't know what part of the definition they're missing, but they're pretty douchebaggy.
Yeah, a douchebag has a very wide range of people it fits under.
Right, because a guy that fucks your girlfriend's a douchebag. But also, like, the guy that cuts you off is a douchebag.
Yeah, and the guy at the store that cards you every time you go in and knows you're over 18 or 21, that guy's a douchebag, too.
Exactly. Or the drunk guy who hits on your girlfriend is a douchebag.
That would be me.
Or the guy that walks by and grabs your balls. I mean, that's a douchebag.
Yeah, I mean, just random ball grabbing is total douchebag.
Yeah, total douchebag move if I've ever heard one. You can also check us out at ibwip.com, which is probably where you're listening to or downloading the show. But also, you want to, you know, subscribe to the blog because, you know, it's I send out important information.
Yeah, and it's just the thing to do.
It's a click of a button. Hey, from now on, if you don't want to be a douchebag, you know, subscribe to the fucking blog.
Yeah.
And so for all you, we need 150 friends. So if you could go to Facebook and search IBWIP and add us as a friend, that would be great.
You know what? Screw it. Don't go to Facebook.
Yeah. You know what? To be honest with you, fuck you. I don't care if you listen to the show ever again. I don't care.
Douchebag.
Douchebag. Twitter.com/IBWIPCOM. If you want to Twitter my tweets or tweet my Twitters. And then if you want to send us an email, you can send it at blake@ibwip.com or Encyclopedia Billy because he's still a staff member. He's just on vacation. That's billy@ibwip.com. And we're going to get amishbj@ibwip.com. So when this is released, you'll be able to use that email address as well. Because I'm sure.
I feel like I've finally made it in the world now.
You're like, honey, I'm quitting my job. I got an email address.
Yeah, I got my own official email address. I am done with everything. I'm becoming a gentleman of leisure.
You're like, honey, get me a pipe.
And a freaking smoking jacket.
I am the Hugh Hefner of podcasting.
I'm going to sit back and read the paper and go, blah, 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 yakety schmackety, boys.
I'll get on my email and I'll tell every one of these fuckers, I'll just respond, douchebag.
That's the heading for every one of my emails now.
The subject line, douchebag number 37.
Assigned numbers.
Right. Douchebag number 57286. We can call him out on the show.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
So send us an email. Give us a fucking attitude. I'm actually in need of some controversy. I'm in need of some attitude.
Yeah, you know what? That would be fun. We should stir up all kinds of shit and see, you know, if we can get somebody at least a little pissed off out there.
I would think that I could get a lot of people pissed off easily. I don't know what my problem is.
I don't know, man. Maybe we're slipping or something.
Do you think I've been a little soft the last few episodes?
Yeah, I think you have taken a softer edge, and I think it's time to pep that back up.
Okay. I'm going to make it a point to be a fucking asshole.
Right on. Like, everybody that writes fan feedback, we're just going to call you a douchebag.
But then we're like, but go ahead and send it.
Yeah. Yeah. We love you. We're just going to call you a douchebag.
We actually have fan feedback.
Yeah, we do.
These are from the three people that are still friends on our Facebook.
Yes, and I don't think any chicks.
You what?
I don't think any of them are hot chicks, and I would just like to say that I will accept naked pictures of hot women on my email at amishbj@ibwip.com.
And if you could put in the heading, female Favre picture.
Yes, female Favre picture would be great.
Okay, so for some of the couple people that do still listen to the show, why don't you go ahead and read the first fan feedback we got?
Okay. I stumbled across IBWIP a couple years ago while drinking whiskey, playing guitar, and watching Clint Eastwood movies, snowed in on Christmas. First off, let me say that is awesome.
You got snowed in for Christmas?
No, to be sitting around drinking whiskey, playing guitar, and watching Clint Eastwood movies. What else is there in life?
I think my Christmas would be drinking Mountain Dew, masturbating, and watching Superbad.
Okay, I'll go with that one, okay. Too. That one works. That's like B on the list.
Okay.
A is definitely Clint Eastwood. But right. Anyway, I enjoy all the music you guys play. I listen to old country records and Hank 3, Those Poor Bastards, Wayne Hancock, and Rachel Brooke, and so on. I am a basement hack musician and someday hope to get a song on an episode in due time. I don't really fit the bill, but may have something later on. Keep fighting the good fight. Tyler.
Hey, I like hack. I like hack musicians. You know, I'm a
hack. Me too, the best kind.
I'm a hack podcaster. And I don't do it in my basement because I don't have my own home. No, here's a guy that's been listening for a couple years. You know, he said it. He said a couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's probably a friend on Facebook. He probably didn't fucking leave.
Yeah, probably. If he has a Facebook. Some cool people don't have Facebooks. They didn't fall into that whole trap.
Yeah, and I was one of those cool people for a long time, but then I got persuaded into it.
Yeah, that's the same as me. I stayed away until MySpace was totally dead.
Right.
Like the tumbleweed came across, and I went, okay, I'm sending out stuff and nobody's talking to me, so I guess it's time to break down. But, hey.
Well, on the next fan feedback, it actually kind of, it's reminiscent. I've been doing this show for 3 years, and I officially got my second letter from a lawyer.
That is something to be proud of.
And Encyclopedia Billy will be able to tell you what episode it was that I read the other one on. I won't be. I couldn't remember, but he would be able to tell you.
He'll say it was like episode 16 or 17. I think that's
it's, you, I know what you're doing. You're saying, 15 plus.
Yeah. Plus 2 months. Yeah, it was probably in there somewhere.
So I'll go ahead and read that one. This is from Schmidt, Proctor, and Walsingham?
Walsingham.
Walsingham,
yeah.
Law Firm. They're douchebags.
Yeah. They're ambulance chasing douchebags.
Dear It Burns When I Pee podcast, we represent the internet property of SavingCountryMusic.com and its sole proprietor, referenced heretofore as Triggerman. We can neither confirm or deny that Triggerman took an unexpected trip to New Mexico last month, or that any illegal activity took place during the alleged trip. We request that you cease and desist. Second time, fucking doing the show 3 years. Second cease and desist, implying the illegal activities did take place on the alleged trip, as the Triggerman is an upstanding citizen that is looking forward to his day in court to tell his side of the story if any of the alleged activities do result in formal charges. The Triggerman will also now be speaking solely through the Schmidt, Proctor, and what is it?
Walsingham.
Law firm when leaving fan feedback henceforth. We can neither confirm or deny whether Triggerman listened to the last episode, but if he did, we can confirm that he enjoyed it, including the forced chemistry between Blake and BJ, which made for interesting radio. I don't know how to take that last line.
Yeah, is that kind of like forced entry? Because then he's calling me a rapist.
That's a different spin than I was even thinking about. But,
and I am totally not a rapist. I asked your permission, and you said yes.
You kissed me on the back of the neck. That's all you got to do. A kiss on the back of the neck, and I love it.
So what if I was a little rough?
I told you to be.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, hey, I've been getting fucked in the ass all my life. You might as well do it for fun. No, but it says including the forced chemistry between Blake and BJ. Is he dissing how our last show went?
I see. That's what I kind of thought, too. At first, and then I went to that whole forced entry thing. You know, my mind travels, but
well, I'm a little sensitive now. You know, I had the 150 lashes to the back,
like Kunta Kinte.
I'm the Kunta Kinte of podcasting.
Yeah, you are. What's your name, boy?
Massa. I keep doing the show, Massa. I don't care.
I'll be good.
I fucked your white wife anyway.
Oh, we're going to get death threats now.
Always got to piss off the black people first. But for people that that might not have listened to the last show, like Triggerman was talking about how he was listening to the show on his way to a trip to New Mexico. And we were talking about how nothing in, you know, you don't go to New Mexico just to have a good, like a business trip.
Yeah, you go for a donkey show, a bale of cocaine or pot, or...
Or if you're hiring some people to build a house.
Or dead body.
Dead body.
Dead body.
Maybe he forced entry on someone and then killed him.
That could be it. See, we're speculating now, and we just got a cease and desist order. I mean, is that pretty much spitting in the face of the law?
I fought the law.
And the law won.
And the law won. But we thank the law firm for taking the time to write that beautiful letter.
Yeah. I like the henceforth and therefores and here, thereafters and
look,
all that
you're
stuff.
Asking a bunch of rednecks to read a fucking a legal document.
I can't even read the XXX on a moonshine bottle.
He's like, henceforth. Now, what day of the week is that?
Do I have that many fingers?
Does henceforth mean I fuck my third cousin?
Or that sheep named Mary.
Mary.
why are you bugging?
Oh, we have more fan feedback from non-litigational.
Yeah, actually we do.
This one
says hello.
Yeah, this one says hello. This one's nice enough to say hello.
Yeah, and with an exclamation point.
So that's hello.
Hello. He says, I am a listener from Norway. I subscribe on your podcast because that is where I pick up new music. I started listening to Scott H. Byram and William Elliott Whitmore. Then when I wanted more, I found IBWIP and the others from Section 86. I write down every artist and listen to them later. One artist I would like to hear at your show is Honky Finger.
I got a Honky Finger.
Yeah. I gave a sheep named Mary a Honky Finger once.
Is a Honky Finger like when you shove it up their butt real fast and you don't tell them and you go honk?
That could be. I'm not sure.
I should have named the show Honky Finger.
You should have. Honky Finger is a cool name. But anyway, he also says Garth Brooks sucks.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Okay,
and so, his name's Christopher.
Well, thank you, Christopher. And look, there's another country we're taking over, Norway.
Norway. First Scotland, now Norway.
And Canada. I own that shit.
You do own Canada. I think I've seen a picture of you, like, planting the American flag in Canada.
Right. But now here's somebody who gets what the show's about. You know what I mean? He does. Because I think in the past year and a half or so, like, I seem to really thrive on maybe some of the obscure music. Wouldn't you say? Not necessarily style, but, like, obscure names.
Yeah, I agree.
I like to think of myself as groundbreaking.
Groundbreaking would be a word that I would use.
Because you don't want to call me a douchebag?
And henceforth.
And henceforth, another thing. You lazy bastards. No, but thank you to everybody for... Now, we're not ripping on the fan feedback. Wouldn't you say?
No, we're not. I did not call one person a douchebag.
Right.
Send in fan feedback.
They sent in fan feedback.
Yeah, they were nice enough to do that. Take the time and put in their hard-earned typing.
Right.
To send fan feedback.
I dig it. So... Another thing we like to go over after fan feedback is Cocker. You know, Cocker was on a hiatus again.
He was. I was actually wondering what happened to Cocker. I was a little sad and worried.
Well, he's kind of like a crack whore. Sometimes you don't hear from him for weeks at a time.
Yeah, and then he pops up and goes, surprise!
Holla! I got a canker sore on my beak.
I suck your dick for some cigarettes.
I suck your dick for a menthol. No,
I almost spit PBR all over my computer.
Like, I suck your dick for a Camel Crush.
They're awful.
It's like I either want a menthol or I don't.
And that menthol flavor in those damn things sucks so bad.
Oh.
I mean, I started out on Newport until one day a black guy came up to my car and said, "What's a white boy doing smoking a Newport?" And then I went,
like,
what?
What's a black guy without a job? Sorry.
Oh, yeah. We are getting hate mail now.
Oh. Maybe that's going to be my next episode.
A drive-by?
Yeah. I love life. I love it.
Yeah.
So anyway, Cock. We were talking about
yes.
Cock.
Yes, no, we were talking about Cock. We were knee-deep in Cock.
There you go, making a black reference again. You know why they're making fun of guys? They're making fun of black guys' big dicks because their dicks are small. Yeah, so what?
I can neither confirm nor deny those allegations.
Henceforth,
I will not speak of her.
When I put my dick in her, she screams for God, so it must not be too little.
All I'm saying is like a Pringles can around. Wow.
Oh, but anyway, Cocker.
Yes, we got to get to this.
Yes, this show is never going to end. No, but Keith Neltner, the famous artist and a great guy, he had Cocker at his farm and his studio in Kentucky, and he hung out for a while.
Well, Kentucky would be a place to hang out. I mean, there's a small gene pool there, and he could probably pick up on chicks pretty quick.
Yeah, and I'm going to be posting the pictures the day that we release the new episode. And to tell you what, he looked like he was having a good time. I'm not going to give it away, but I never thought I'd see Cocker with a pig head. That's all I'm saying.
Nice.
That's all I'm saying.
I like pig heads. Wow, that sounded really dirty, too.
Is that what you call fat girls' pussy lips?
No, but I am now.
I figure,
henceforth,
hey,
I will be calling it.
I figure, hey, I'll make fun of black people. I'll make fun of fat girls. I don't care. At this point,
I've already picked on the gene pool in Kentucky.
Right.
I mean, hell, we might as well just keep this going.
Right. Have you seen another thing about Cocker? Did you see the Cocker Travels video?
Yes, I did. It was beautiful.
I dabble in cinematography now.
I actually expected, like, you know, the French films, like the black and white old time films where it goes finé at the end. I was actually expecting that. It was so beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
No, you're welcome.
A lot of people, you know, they look at the blogs and they look at the pictures online. But I figured we needed to kind of put them in some kind of order and some kind of, you know, and put some music to it.
I will make a request for the next video. We should put a little Wind Beneath My Wings on there by Bette Midler.
There you go. I'll start it off with that.
It would make it beautiful. Or that Whitney Houston song from that stupid movie with her and Kevin Costner.
Oh,
The Bodyguard.
We'll always love you. You know what I'm going to do? That's what I'll do for the next, because, you know, it's going to be multiple videos. You know what I mean? Because as he travels. But the next one, I'll do all corny gay music. Like show tunes and stuff.
Yeah, you should.
I'm like, what would a fag want to listen to while I'm
Holy shit, we're just striking them down now. Black people, Kentuckians.
Fags? Fat girls? Fags. And I wonder why I lost 150 fans.
Douchebags. Oh, man.
I told you I was going to get pissed off. I warned you.
Next, we're going to start talking about the Guidos on Jersey Shore.
Oh, God.
I've never watched that show, and I am damn proud of myself.
You haven't lost any brain cells.
Yes.
Okay.
I am a self-respecting human being.
Now that everybody is all warm and fuzzy inside, let's play some music.
Yes, we should play some music. I think it's time for a little Truck Stop Darling with Good For You from their new self-entitled album.
Yeah, they sent me the album, and I listened to the song, and I'm like, you know what? This is very apropos. Good fucking for you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Enjoy your life. Enjoy your life.
You go to hell and you die.
Oh, yeah. I want your blood. Oh.
Nice.
Well, that's a good segue into the song. Here is Good For You by Truck Stop Darling. We'll be right back. You're holding up good, buddy Jay. Keep it up, buddy.
All right. Thank you. We've only pissed off everybody. So.
This is Monica in Jersey from the Peoria Push Derby Dames.
And you're listening to the home of musical Southmouth, It Burns When I Pee.
You don't want to leave. It's the greatest show on earth.
All right. Send them titties. Whatever.
Send who titties? I have to send them my titties?
No. All my girlfriends
on
can
Facebook.
Go ahead and send you all titties.
Well, you need to tell them that.
I just did.
Well, don't you have to send a blog or something?
No. I just said it on the radio.
Okay, so back to Halloween stuff is what you want, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got that. I got the perfect thing. We're gonna off the cuff. We're gonna go off the cuff right here.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'll give you back to BJ.
Okay.
I'm back.
All right. So
I'll make sure that happens again.
I'll make sure my wife interrupts every time we do the show. Okay, so we'll go ahead and do four, and I've got some Halloween.
Okay.
Okay, so whenever
you're
ready.
Let me find four here real quick. I kind of scrolled down. I'm looking for four.
It's before, hence therefore.
Well, I got a segue out of Sons of Perdition, Songs of Retribution.
And then I'll go ahead and go into my Halloween thing.
Okay. Alrighty.
Whenever you're ready.
Okay. You just listened to Sons of Perdition with Psalms of Retribution from their new album, Psalms for the Spiritually Dead.
Are we going to need?
That sounds
are
spooky.
It is spooky. Are we going to need to be doing some retribution after this? I mean, we're gonna get the wrath of, because we're already getting yelled at by your wife.
Yeah, I mean, she's listening to our banter.
Like, I didn't mind your son interrupting the show because he wanted to make fries last time. That was fine. But when you're, you know, Nicole, who is supposed to be there for us, telling us that we sucked.
I don't think she so much said we sucked. I just think she said we went way off subject.
What do African Americans and Halloweens have in common? Nothing. What does
free candy.
What does a fat girl and Halloween have in common? Nothing.
Canker sores.
Yeah. Canker sores and Halloween don't happen. Well, okay. So she wants us to talk more about Halloween. Okay. Do you have any good Halloween fucking stories?
Dude, I've always wanted to have a toga party just because, you know, a Halloween toga party is pretty much an orgy waiting to happen. Am I wrong with this, or am I just a pervert?
I think any kind of toga party would be, with the right amount of alcohol and the right amount of women with no self-esteem, I think I got a good shot.
Well, yeah. They may even have sex with a fat guy with a mohawk and a handlebar mustache.
You have a mohawk now?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to send me a picture of that.
Oh, it's sweet. I even got a mohawk down below. You want to see a picture of that, too?
No, Brett. Nicole's like, Brett Favre has nothing to do with Halloween.
Brett Favre's the man.
No. God, no. So, let's talk about what's coming up. I've been plugging this away for a while. But the next episode, episode 47, which is the November episode, we have an interview with some of the ladies from the Peoria Push Roller Derby team.
I am so excited about this.
We actually did the interview last night, and I don't want to give a lot of it away, but I have a new roller derby name for myself. It was given to me. It was given to me.
Bastard Blake.
That's too easy. No, but it was, we went and saw the Peoria Push had their first home about last night, and we interviewed them, so look forward to that. And then we have something very, very special.
Special?
Yes. Beto.
Special.
We have a very special part of the episode. No.
I like trees, and I like mashed potatoes because they have no bones.
Have you ever put your dick inside of a hole in a pumpkin? Neither have I. Neither have I. That's like, have you ever fucked a goat? No.
I can neither
confirm or deny
these allegations.
Oh no, but as many fans will remember, there was a young man that used to co-host a show named Creepy Guy.
Creepy Guy.
Yeah, and he is back, and he helped me out with the interview last night.
That's awesome.
I basically invited him because I wanted somebody to be there in case I got my ass kicked.
I don't blame you. You do need a little backup. Those chicks could whoop your ass, Blake.
I love the girls. Seriously, I'm not knocking them at all. But most of those girls could kick my ass. That's not really saying much for me, though.
Yeah, I mean, you are kind of tall and kind of stringy.
Stringy.
It's stringy.
Quit talking about my penis. Shit.
So stay tuned next month for the special roller derby episode. So, I don't know. We're kind of winding down here. I think we've insulted everybody. Your wife's mad at us. I don't know what to do anymore. I lost 150 fans.
Well, after this episode comes out, I'm sure we'll be down to 5 by the time it's over.
It's just going
to
be me, you, and Nicole.
And Billy.
And Billy. Billy's like, I won't leave you.
He loves us.
In about a month or like 3 or 4 months from now, he'll be like, on episode 46 is when a Birds When I Peed lost 85% of their friends on Facebook.
Worst episode ever.
Blake mysteriously died a month after that release of that episode.
Of multiple gunshot wounds to vital organs.
And he was sitting on a fat girl was sitting on his head.
BJ got canker sores all over his body and died of the herpes.
Herpes kills, you know.
Enough of it probably does.
Like if you had a mega herpy?
Just one big herpy?
Right. It just takes over your whole body. Oh, fuck. So I did want to talk about a new release. CD that came out. Our good buddy Ronnie Himes released his new CD, Unincorporated.
Yes, and it is very, very good.
Anyway,
I do a little bit of it today.
You know what I like about it? Is he just says, fuck you. You know what I mean? You don't like it? Fuck you guys. Nashville?
Agreed.
Fuck you guys. And that's what this whole show is based upon in the beginning, was canker sores and people singing songs just saying, fuck you, Nashville, you know?
Yeah, and I think we've gone back to that today. Thank you, Ronnie Himes, for getting us in the mood.
Getting us in the mood to say, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
No, but it is a good CD. Like, I totally dig it, and it's what needs to be said, and we're going to play a song from it. But first, I want to say thank you, BJ.
Well, thank you, Blake.
And I apologize in advance if I put your life in any kind of danger today.
I apologize in advance if I put your life in any danger today.
Mine's pretty... it doesn't really matter about, you know...
I mean, my kids would probably jump over my dead body.
to get to the cigarettes.
Yeah. Thank God he's dead.
Mom
kicked me a couple times.
Mom can't do shit to us now. She can't catch us. She's so hard.
Mom can finally move Uncle Tim into the house.
Right. He always brings us candy, and it's the good kind.
Yeah, not those stupid Mary Janes.
Uncle Timmy always says, shh, don't tell your daddy I was here. And he's got that really pretty wife, Aunt Linda.
Wow. My wife gets around, doesn't she?
I meant that in a nice way. Like, I don't
know. That's fine.
That was a compliment. That was completely a compliment.
Oh, that's cool. If she's sexually attractive to both sexes, well, hell.
Little dab.
I'm not.
a little dab will do you.
She is totally looking at me like, you are going to die as soon as this is over.
She's like, no sex for you ever.
Ever.
Epic fail.
I just got pwned.
We're old, dude. We're trying to be
we
cool.
We are.
We're trying to be cool.
Yeah, it was just me trying way too hard.
I was pushing the envelope, too. But... I want to thank you. I want to thank everybody that we had on the show. I really want to thank Rachel, James, and Jake for doing such a kick-ass interview. Like, it was a good time, and I hope the fans dug the interview. And I just want to thank everybody who is our Facebook friends. I want to thank you. I want to thank you from the bottom of my loins.
Your sexy, sexy loins.
They're white and non-stinky.
And don't have cankers.
Yeah.
They got warts, but that's different. Don't get them confused. Do I need to thank anybody else?
Nah, screw them.
Fuck them. They're douchebags. So let's finish the show off with a bash. You know,
I think we should.
Never before, ever, on a Burns IP have we had a triple play.
A triple play. A trifecta of
right.
awesomeness.
Of awesomeness. And here's how we're going to do it. We're going to play Sea of Sin by Ronnie Himes from his new CD. We're going to play some slide in some good old Johnny Cash with To Beat the Devil and finish it up with the one and the only Those Poor Bastards with
Hellbound Train.
Notice how I put the train at the beginning and the end?
You tied it all together. It
yes.
came together.
That's why people should love this show. I know what the
yes.
fuck I'm doing. So
it's like Lego.
It's like what?
Legos.
How is it like Legos?
Do we keep cutting? Because they come together.
Oh, I thought that was the Beatles.
Constructs? Oh, no.
Lincoln Logs?
Lincoln Logs, they go together, too.
All right. So, BJ, have a safe and happy Halloween. Tell your wife I really do love her.
And I will.
And she doesn't hate me.
You have a good Halloween, too. Don't eat too many Mary Janes and don't get any canker sores.
I'm going to go see Those Poor Bastards and Last False Hope, buddy.
Oh, I'd love to be at that show.
Come on down. So here is Ronnie Himes with Sea of Sin, Johnny Cash with To Beat the Devil, and Those Poor Bastards with Hellbound Train. Thanks again, buddy. We'll see you next month.
See y'all.
I work real hard. It was winter time in Nashville, down on Music Row, and I was looking for a place to get myself out of the cold, to feed the frozen feeling that was eating at my soul, and get the chilly wind off my guitar. For my thirsty wanted whiskey, and my hunger wanted beans, and it had been a month of paydays since I'd heard the eagle scream. So with a pocket full of empty and a head full of dreams, I left my pride and stepped inside a bar. Actually, I guess it was a tavern. Sawdust on the floor, cigarette smoke to the ceiling, friendly shadows. Well, I could see that there was just one old man that was sitting at the bar. And in the mirror, I could see him checking me and my guitar. And he said, "Hey, come on up here, boy, and show us what you are." I said, "I'm thirsty." And he bought me a beer. He said, "You ain't doing no good, are you?" I just looked at him. He said, "You ain't making no money, are you?" I said, "You've been reading my mail." He said, "Hey, give me that guitar. Let me show you something." Then he laid it on me. If you waste your time talking to the people who don't listen to the things that you are saying, who do you think's gonna hear? And if you should die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could be changing, who do you think's gonna care? There's a lot of lonely singers in a world turned deaf and blind, who were crucified for what they tried to show. And their voices still are raging through the swirling sands of time, 'cause they don't believe that no one wants to know. Well, the old man was a failure, but I'd heard his song before, back when trouble had me locked out of the wrong side of the door, when nothing stood behind me but my shadow on the floor, and lonesome was more than a state of mind. They say the devil haunts a hungry man, and if you can't beat him, you gotta join him. Well, I'm not saying that I beat the devil, but I drank his beer for nothing. Then I stole his song. And you still can hear me talking to the people who don't listen to the things that I am saying, hoping someone's gonna hear. And I guess I'll die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could be changing, hoping someone's gonna care. I was born a lonely singer, and I'm bound to die the same, but I gotta feed the hungry in my soul. And if I never have a nickel, I won't ever be ashamed, 'cause I don't believe that no one wants to know.
The Hellbound Train.
A drunkard lay on the barroom floor.
He drunk till he could
not drink no more.
He went to sleep
with a troubled brain and dreamt he was on
the Hellbound Train.
The train, it flew at an awful pace,
the brimstone a-burning both hands and face. And worse,
the roadbed grew,
and faster the
engine flew. He he blowed the whistle and rung the bell, and the devil says, boys, the next stop is hell. And all of the passengers yelled with pain and begged the devil to stop the train. But the devil laughed at their misery. He hollered and roared and yelled with glee, you paid your fare with the rest of my load, and you'll got to ride to the end of the road. You robbed the weak and done wrong to the poor, turned hungry folks away from your door. You laid up gold till your purses bust, you ruined young gals with your beastly lust. You mocked at God in your stubborn pride, you murdered and killed and cheated and lied. You double-crossed partners and cussed and stole, you belong to me, both body and soul. Your bones will burn in the flames that roar, you'll scorch and sizzle from rind to core. Then the barroom rang with an awful scream as the drunkard woke from his terrible dream. Down on his knees on the barroom floor, he prayed as he never had prayed before. His prayers and vows, they were in vain, for his soul was doomed for the hellbound train. The hellbound train.
If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, a world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you enter the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details.